Hey, welcome back to Viewer's Point, where I will still be giving my unasked for, unsolicited, and unwanted opinion on your favorite TV and movies. Let's go! Hello. This is. Hello. Welcome in. Welcome into a new episode. My schedule's been very off lately, and I'm aware of that, and I am extremely sorry about that. It's just been a lot. I am very excited to be here today. Talking about this is such a bittersweet moment in time. Cobra Kai has just come out. It has not just come out for when you guys are when this is dropping. It's probably come out like 3 weeks ago, but. And when I'm recording this, it's come out a pretty long time ago. But I've watched it maybe a week or two ago. Yeah, I mean, let's just dive into this. So, I mean, for those who don't know, I have multiple episodes on this podcast where I talk about Cobra Kai from seasons 1 to 3, 3 to 6, or 3 to 5, 5 to 6, you know. All that good stuff. And then for season 6, I was in the middle of doing this podcast. Like the other seasons, I was kind of just it was our the seasons had already dropped. For season 6, however, it was the first season where I think it was. Yeah, it was the first season where it came out as I was doing this podcast, and it was the first time they did in part, so it was kind of cool. I have a so part 1 of Season 6 uploaded, part 2 of season 6 uploaded, and now we are at the final part. And let me tell you, the last few parts, I did not go gentle. I did not go gentle on this show, and I was very much like ready to just get this over with. Let's just finish this because this is getting sad. Like it pains me to talk bad about this show, so I was not excited for this new batch of episodes to drop. I was very much discouraged. If it wasn't for this podcast, I would still watch it because I got this close. But yeah, I was just very discouraged. Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's get into it. Episode 11. That is where we start off. Quan has just died. And I think I talked about the ridiculousness and that, but we won't do that here. Either way, I do feel like they handled Quan's death pretty tastefully. I mean, he really caused his own death, so that really shouldn't mean all the other fighters don't get a chance to fight. And the only other conflicting factor was Kreese's knife, and he's not. And all you had to do was just like trace who was the knife, ban them, and then there's no one else you can really blame for that. I mean. Like truly, it was a pretty solid way of bringing the story full circle with the Sekai Tekkai being held in the valley, bringing the tournament back to its origin, where it all started. I was wondering, I was like, are we gonna do the Sekai Tekkai? Like, we're gonna end the show in Barcelona, but it was a very smart way of bringing things full circle. You still have that tournament, that Sekai Tekkai in Barcelona, but also you get a call back to the first season, and you bring things back full circle. And again, it was good writing. It didn't feel like they were trying to force that. It felt very natural. And it was very much needed. So I can already praise that. I actually really appreciated Kreese's redemption. I think it was done in a way that was realistic. I think him seeing Quan die was the turning point where it's like, okay, I can realize my mistakes. And we have seen this like Kreese going back and forth for a couple seasons now. So it didn't just come out of nowhere, which again I can actually really appreciate because there are so many times in seasons like the last seasons of shows and they want to just like flip a character around after mismatching them for like years. It's like, okay, well, I don't believe you. But for Kreese, it's like we've seen him kind of contemplate this idea and not be totally happy and proud of the person he's become, like in season 4 when we think he's getting a little redemption. So it did not feel like it came out of nowhere. I think it was very well placed because of this specific situation. However, I do have a bone to pick with a line he has. It's not really a line, but it's just like in real life, like what I have a bone to pick with. When people say, he says this, he's like, it's too late for me to change. And I cannot stand when people say that because, and for him, for him, it's valid. It's not a care. It's not a like a critique of the actual dialogue, but it's more of just in real life when people say that, I'm like, it's never too late to do something. All that is just an excuse for you to not do the hard thing, which is changing and being a better version of yourself. But there is no such thing as it's too late. Like, that's what's always annoys me. It's like just an excuse for you to not take that extra step and not do the hard thing. You've been evil or bad or just not a good person for so long. It's the easy thing to do to continue doing that. The hard thing would be to change and be the best version of yourself. Yeah, I don't know what I'd say about that. I just had to put that in because it like pissed me off. And I liked the detail. I really like the detail of Kreese sending Yoon away after that, the training session. What if you want to call that a training session? It seemed like a murder session. But it was I really like that subtle detail of him recognizing a toxic and dangerous environment and caring about his student enough to be like, yeah, you're not gonna end up like Kwon. Leave. I thought that was actually that was a big gesture to me. They glossed over, which I think you didn't need to spend time with, but it was a big gesture that I where the detail was needed. The Kim Sun Yoon, I don't know if that's how you say it, sorry, arc was a bit unnecessary. I can't lie, I would have skipped it. I would have skipped the whole episode altogether. Episode 11 is like really about that. It's not that it's unnecessary, it's just that it's really mostly about Kreese and the other girl, and it's like we don't really care too much. These are side characters. It amazes me how much Cobra Kai spends on their side characters because I'm just like, is this necessary? You know, like I there's at some point you just get to a point where it's like this is our last five episodes of the entire show. This is the last time we're gonna see all our favorite characters on screen, and we choose to spend that time with these characters have just joined us in like 2 seasons ago. I don't know. It just seems like they don't know how to balance screen time too well because I just don't think it's necessary. I truly don't. You could add the scenes with Kreese. That's fine. Him contemplating that, maybe. Even there, it's like all you have to tell me is that, or all you have to show me is that he's willing to change his ways. As once we see that spark in him, that's fine. You don't really need to show us, give us a whole monologue or him saying he did everything wrong because we know. So I think again they just went a little bit overboard with that, and yeah, it was a lot of screen time with that, and I was just shocked because I was just like, these are our last episodes. And then on the flip side, we had Daniel and his contemplating bringing the tournament back, and he's dealing with that. And while I get it, it's realistic. I just simply do not care. I get it. Again, that could be done in one scene. I'm not so sure how I feel, but to make the kind of whole episode surrounded by him being scared, not really him being scared, but him being hesitant to go back into karate at all and Sam in college, it just was a lot of like, we don't need that much Amanda. We don't need the cousin. I don't know. It's not that it's not needed. It's just that there are so many characters in the show and arguably more important characters in the show. It seems like the show thinks it's targeted to the 80s kids, and the adults in the show always seem to have a major place in the story, even when the kids oftentimes need the most character growth. It seems like the adults always need to have a place in the story. It's rare that a child recently in the show that one of the kids are leading the episode. And I think that's a really big mistake because a big audience is kids, and a big audience is invested in the kids. Nobody's really that invested unless you're talking about people who grew up with the original Karate Kid. Is that invested in Daniel? Or Amanda, or who's, I don't know who's invested in Amanda, or Amanda, or Chosen. Like, nobody's really invested in these characters. The most you could say is Johnny, because that is the person that everyone immediately connects with and connected with to even enjoy Cobra Kai in the first place. So he's the only one that should be getting an awful lot of screen time, but to refuse to let the kids run the story shows the direction they've wanted the show to go in, and that pretty much aligns with the steady decline in quality. Or maybe they just had too many episodes, who knows? Yeah, it was just a little too much Daniel in the episode. We only needed one scene with him contemplating bringing back the tournament. I was also very disappointed with the pacing of this episode. It felt very continuous with the previous quality of the episodes in season six, part one. It just felt very detached to the roots of the show. Not even, I don't even mean from the source material Karate Kid. I mean from season one of the show, from season two of the show. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's too much screen time with Amanda and the other family members. I like, however, I like Anoush, and I forgot the name, I forgot the cousin's name. I actually like them. They had a very small role, and that's all you need. That's all you need. The amount of screen time and lines they had was the only thing they needed, and I actually liked it. I think they're very funny. I think they're very funny together, and I think it worked. And yeah, but the entire episode just felt very skippable, which is very, very, again, very surprising considering it's the last five episodes of your entire show, and there's so much story that could be told or shown. I mean, cool scenes of Robbie and Miguel playing video games together or sparring. We people would love to see them actually being brothers outside of karate. You know what I mean? Like that is because that is a very their relationship is a very big part of the show and how far the show has come and how far these people have came. So it feels like a missed opportunity to not show, especially if you're gonna just waste scenes like that. You might as well do it on things that it will have an impact. You don't need to, it doesn't always need to lead somewhere, but things like that will have an impact that in a way that a random line from someone that has like 20 minutes of screen time altogether just couldn't do. Yeah, and it just felt like a waste opportunity. And there's even more story on these kids that we've not really developed that much, but used, like Kenny and Devin. I'm not gonna say Anthony because he's not interesting, but I feel like Kenny and Devin are pretty, I mean, solid like characters, especially Kenny. Like I would love to see more Kenny. I would not mind. And it's like a slew of characters in this world, and we ch always choose to go with the adults. If we're bringing in unneeded characters, well, it's always the adults, and it just feels very targeted. Like they're trying to target someone, but it's like these are not the people watching. The people watching are not, I mean, while there are 30-year-olds watching, of course, a lot of the audience is teenagers, is tweens. Like that's, no one wants to see adults duking it out like children. At least show us our favorite characters, Miguel and Robbie and Hawk just interacting. None of these characters have been fleshed out since they turned over a new leaf. But at this point, when I was watching this episode, I was like, all hope is lost at this point. Like, I just want to get this over with. I was just rolling my eyes. I was like, ugh, okay, more of this. So I was like, this isn't gonna change anything. The end is not gonna, nothing has changed. They haven't learned anything. So I was pretty disappointed at this point. However, episode, oh yeah, I give this rating. I rate each episode because it definitely needs to be rated each episode. I rate episode 11 3 out of 10. Yeah, it felt like the rest of the show. It felt like season 5 of the show. It felt like season 6 of the show, where it had no heart. It was very soulless. It had zero character and ultimately lost the charm of the show. Everything started to feel incredibly generic. Characters began to become stagnant, almost like mock versions of of themselves. They were no longer people, just plot devices. Yeah, so let's get into episode 12. My lord, my lord. The entire Chosen arc this episode is entirely too misplaced. Why is the entire A plot of your last few episodes, I'm gonna say this again, of your entire show about maybe the 13th most important character in the show? I swear he had more screen time than Hawk. Like, I'm so confused. Please, someone explain to me. Did we need Amanda and Daniel going on to wine tasting and taking Chosen? And I was so shocked they were showing me this. Like, when I tell you, when they like were setting up that whole scene and Chosen gets the letter and they're like, oh, maybe we should take him with us. I really thought that meant, okay, you guys are off the screen for the episode. I genuinely did, because I was like, they had a pretty prominent role in episode 11. So I really thought, okay, that's them kicking them off screen. I was like, okay, now we can focus on the kids. And no, literally, literally, no. Literally no. And Tori, sorry. I forgot to mention Tori in episode 11, with characters we could build on. Like, there's so many other characters. My bad. I just forgot to mention Tori. I have to say that. But yeah, and so but then when they actually sh like they really showed us this. They really went out of their way and showed us these adults at a wine tasting. Oh my God, I don't understand. And the thing is like I would understand if you're adding these adults in with the kids. Like that's the thing that like that's why it always made sense because the kids were being taught or trained by the adults. Now it's just they're taking them and putting them all together away from the kids and creating their own storyline with them. So we're watching it for that. We're watching Cobra Kai for Amanda. We're watching Cobra Kai for Chosen. We're watching Cobra Kai for Daniel. Because that's the only explanation. It's an unbelievably crazy amount of time spent on those characters and those characters alone. I could justify their being there if Amanda's like, I don't know, with Tori and Sam shopping. Okay, weird, but okay. I can justify it if Johnny and Daniel are helping Robbie with college. I don't know, whatever. I know that none of that's like makes any sense, but that's what like I can justify their presence in that sense, but to just have a whole plot with them with those three characters and they take up so much of the screen time. Chosen is literally it takes he's his storyline's like 20 minutes and the whole thing is just him being heartbroken and him like getting read with tarot cards about starting a new life or it's just so I'm like no one cares about this character enough. You could have literally ended him the way we ended him, and that's all the screen time we needed. We didn't, there's no need for development. Like I truly don't understand. I don't understand you guys. I don't. Holy crap, makes me so mad. Moving on to the kid storyline, the virtual reality-esque training was goofy as hell. Who thought that was gonna look cool? Who thought that was gonna be like, oh, people are gonna think that's so cool? It doesn't. I'm sorry, it does not. They're going to MIT, and apparently that means they can create revolutionary tech in a couple days. So, you know, we love accurate television. We just absolutely love it. I just there was just really it was so unnecessary. I like the idea of pretending it's what the fuck's his face? Axel. But I think you could have just done that with Robbie and Miguel sparring and then Miguel and Robbie just like picturing Axel and then he shows up. I think that could have worked as well. You didn't need the ver like it felt so extra. It felt so insanely extra. I'm just like, okay. I'm just biting my tongue. Okay. I just have to accept this. Miguel, Robbie, and Hawk sparring would have honestly been a better way to display the training session. And it would have had me hooked. I would have liked to see more of that trio and their dynamic, especially considering it'll be for the last time. I guess people they don't understand that. And another little tidbit that I have is Dimitri does not have to be in every scene Hawk is. I get they've made up. And the thing is like we had the whole part two, I believe, or part one was about, or I mean part two. Part one and part two were about them. The tension between their friend, the p tension in their relationship and friendship. And I didn't mind that, but it's like they mended it in part two. So we don't, that's kind of all we need with them. I think this part should have been focused on his relationship with Miguel and his maybe relationship with Robbie because he was really good friends with Miguel. They were like, I think they say this, like Hawk is like Dimitri's brother. They're like brothers. And Miguel is Hawk's best friend, or Hawk is the Miguel, whatever, you know. So it's like I would have liked again because we haven't seen a lot of them since season what two, season four. I don't know, we just haven't seen too much of them. So I think that would have been a nice time to bring them back, especially considering we finished Dimitri and Hawk's storyline. They've accomplished their arc, they've gotten to the end of their arc. Now it's just it's like literally every scene Hawks in, they have to put Dimitri with him. And it's like, okay, then it's just a little excessive. And we don't care about Dimitri the same way we care about Hawk. And I don't mean to be disrespectful or rude, but it's true. Like you just as in at like the audience is literally the big three, Miguel, Robbie, and Hawk, even though they're nowhere near each other, but it's fine. We don't as the Hawk is like a fan favorite character. Like I don't even think people understand. Hawk is literally a fan favorite character. So putting him with Dimitri is like Dimitri's not even the top six favorite characters. So I just and it's no hate to the actor or character or whatever. It's just about why are we putting his importance with Hawks and thus bringing Hawks down because we're putting it with Dimitri. And we've already seen all we can see from him. We get it, the binary brothers. We get the relationship. We get that dynamic. We understand it. We've seen a lot of it recently. It's in season four, we've seen a lot of it. There's no need to keep giving this to us. I don't understand why Dimitri was there. It would have been so much more beneficial with just Hawk, Miguel and Robbie sparring. That would have been so cool. Like what? That would, and Hawk's just sitting there. Hawk is just, and I get that he's not fighting, but neither is Miguel. Miguel doesn't think he's fighting at this point. So I don't understand. However, I did like Robbie and Robbie's line when Miguel gives him that Johnny talk, and Robbie's like, scared how much you sound like my dad. I like it. I like it. That was a very nice touch because it kind of. It showed two things simultaneously. It showed him like recognizing how Miguel really like adopted the qualities of his father because of the amount of time he spent with him. And then also Robbie recognizing how much his father and his teachings, whatever, has helped all of them. It was just a nice it's a nice line. Now, Tori and Sam, their little endeavor they go on. I actually like their scenes together. The dialogue's a bit dry, but it always is. For some reason, the Sam and Tori's dialogue is always just like bleh. But before, like, besides the second season, their dialogue has just always been so. It's like the beginning of season six. Like, yeah, it's very dry. It's very weird. But the fight choreo when they're in the arena was sick. I know a lot of it wasn't both of them, you can tell, but it was still sick nonetheless. I hadn't even realized it when I watched it, but I should have, that they made it so technically advanced and just a cool sequence because they knew they wouldn't be fighting in the final tournament. And I didn't even clock that because it's like, why would you be putting this much effort to a fight between them when we're gonna have a fight with them later. But no, they knew they weren't gonna fight, so they had to give the fans one last fight between Tori and Sam in that way. And so I'm mad I didn't clock that, but it was very cool. And so the lighting, the way it was shot, everything, it just the music, everything was really well done. And that's for me what I felt the boys' training session should have been. I would have appreciated that more. I would have definitely enjoyed it more, not cringed as much, if I'm being honest. Also, side note, Tori looked a lot better in these batch of episodes. And not like in terms of the actress. I think something was just off with her face in the first part. Like, again, not to be rude, but it's just like I don't know if it was the lighting. I don't know if it was the makeup they were putting on her. I don't know, but something was just really off with her face. And it wasn't like that in previous seasons. But this part, she just I don't know. I just wanted to mention that because I think I mentioned that in my last part. I was like, very off. She looks better now, so that's good. Johnny proposing to Carmen as she's giving birth, going into labor, and marrying her is wild. That's wild. But it's the most Johnny thing. It's the wildest thing, but it's the most Johnny thing in the world. And I can't help but love that. I can't help but like. Love the fact that he's gonna tell the story. Yeah, I proposed to her while she was giving birth, and I married her against her will. He just was like, "I'm proposing to you," and then he brought out a whole priest and was like, "Okay, now we're getting married." It's like, what is she gonna say? No. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And I also like the callback of them making this such a significant moment, or Johnny making this such a significant moment because of the fact that he wasn't there for Robbie being born. And him going the extra mile with Carmen was just this subtle but beautiful growth with his character. And I loved it. But like the previous episode, it just was very slow. It's gotten to the point where if they're not fighting, the interactions between characters don't carry the story enough, which is sad considering the first and second season didn't need to rely on the fighting to make it captivating or entertaining. It's what happens when they rush the storytelling and fail to establish characters outside of their natural habitat. Their personalities became based on which dojo they were at or which sensei they believed in at the time. When they all came under the same roof or dojo, their characters began to blend and there was no longer a distinction between personalities. I mean, a great example is Hawk and Dimitri, or Robbie and Miguel. I mean, it literally goes for anyone. Wish it wasn't, because again, I love all these characters, but I just, they're not interesting. They have no, they're so one-dimensional, which is strange because they're not, but they do because of how lackluster and soulless, and a lot of it's the dialogue. I'm gonna be complete. A lot of it's the dialogue. Yeah, sad, sad, sad. But as we rate this episode 12 is a 5 out of 10. It was better than the first one, episode 11, but still didn't pique my interest. However. Episode 13 happens, and I'm gonna say this. This is the episode where Cobra Kai officially comes back. In my opinion. There's a double meaning there if you look for it, and I'm not waiting. I don't have any comments, so I'm just gonna tell you because I'm that annoying. Not only does Cobra Kai actually come back in this, the original Cobra Kai actually come back in this episode, but the quality and true concept of the show, original Cobra Kai show of season one, season two Cobra Kai comes back in this episode, and that is what I live for. That is truly what I mean, this show finally starts to feel like the show I fell in love with again. And it made me so happy. Episode 13 made me so happy. Just Robbie and Axel's fight was, I mean, it was good. It was a good fight. And the fight sequence was good. And remember, I've been saying for a long time that the choreography just looks so fake. And while I guess it does, I'm not gonna like, but it definitely feel like they had more time with shooting the last half, meaning more time spent with the choreography to sink in enough so it doesn't feel like choreographed moves. I mean, the Sekai Tekkai felt so rushed because of how rehearsed it looked. And I didn't really clock that until now of it being, 'cause I was like, everything just looks so fake. It just looks so choreographed. And I think that just could be because of the lack of time they had with the choreography and with the moves. Because we don't have that much time. We don't have, like I said, think I said it last episode. You don't have enough time to let it sink into your bones and to just make it look natural. You're just at the point where it's memorizing the moves. And so it looks like that. It comes off like that on screen. So yeah, I was very happy to see that that had changed. It looks sick. The Sekai Tekkai looks sick. Bringing the Sekai Tekkai to the All Valley, and then the national, the worldwide coverage. It was such a nice touch of bringing this small tournament and bringing it worldwide. It was just, it was, even though it's not the All Valley, it's like it's basically the All Valley. You know, it's like it's basically the All Valley. It was just so cool. I mean, Johnny holding a baby and a beer is the best form of storytelling. The best form of storytelling they've done throughout this entire show. I cackled at that image. It was beautiful. Kreese committing a selfless act with Tori, knowing that she needs this win on her own and doesn't need him and his bullshit following her. Even though she asked, like, she literally asked, like, does it have to be the end? Can you co basically saying, can you coach me one more time? And it's such a good callback to Johnny and him in the second season when Kreese leaves and Johnny's like, wait, hold on. And but this time Kreese is realizing she doesn't need me anymore. She doesn't need me. And I'm gonna be proud of her on the side. She doesn't like, I love that development. He's finally gotten over his BS ways. It just was because those are two characters he actually, or those are two people he really cares about. So it was nice to see that inflection and that reflection in that relationship in that way. Beautiful scene. And then also Kreese's speech to Johnny was just everything you've ever wanted to hear from him, honestly. It was incredibly satisfying. And even Kreese acknowledging when Johnny was like, "You all right, LaRusso," and took the loss, and he took the loss like a man and showed respect towards LaRusso. Kreese acknowledging he did the right thing with Daniel at the end of the match was something I'd never thought I'd see, or something I never thought he would bring up. And the fact that he did was such a nice touch, because we've always seen the part where he choked him out and he's sorry about that. But I liked him recognizing that he took that loss like a man, and he took it gracefully, and he showed him respect. And I liked the fact that Kreese was acknowledging the fact that he did that and saying that was something I never could have done. And basically showing him he's always been a good person. Bringing back the guy from the Karate Kid movie to be the ref, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. When they said they could pick their own ref, I thought it was, I mean, one thing about Cobra Kai, they're gonna bring back the OG, try to bring back every OG, whether they were in the background, whether they had no lines, they're gonna bring them back. And I honestly liked it, because he was, what's funny is like, he was a very recognizable opponent. Like, I didn't recognize him like older. I mean, like when he was younger, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that fighter and all that. Like, they brought back a very recognizable person. One thing I will say though is the announcer sucked. That one from the European guy, when he talks about like who's gonna announce it, and the black guy is like, "Well, I usually announce it," and then he kicks the European kicks the white guy in the face and is like, "Well, I'm doing it." Despite the racial inflections of that situation. And it's like, I actually wanted to see, I mean, this is like, again, basically the All Valley. And the black guy is just a better announcer. Like, let's be for real. So I was very upset that he was announcing. But I honestly thought they were gonna have the black guy come in after, like, the white guy do Robbie's match, and the black guy come in to announce the big announcement. But it didn't happen, and I was so disappointed. It disappointed me more than I thought it would. It just was a little bit like, damn, because he was the first person to announce it. It was a little annoying. Robbie and Axel's fight, let's get into that, because I haven't really talked about that yet too much, and there's a lot that happens, and even more that I have to say. First of all, the contact, Axel breaking Robbie's knee. While yes, unsportsmanlike conduct, I get it, all that. But people saying, at least people that I was like, it's illegal. Like, how is that not illegal? This and this. But it's like, it's a contact sport. I think people forget about that. It's the same thing with something else that happens in the show. Was it with Sam? Something else happens. It's a contact sport. It's people break their legs and break bones in basketball. You're doing a sport that's literally fighting. If someone takes you down in the wrong way, it can be totally an accident and you can break your leg, but that's not on them. It's just, this is the sport it is. It's a contact sport. I'm literally trying to hurt you to get a point. Very easy to disguise something like that when you're playing a sport such as karate. Robbie losing. Robbie coming in second place again was the best decision the show could have ever made. And I've said it, anyone who's been with me for the past however many episodes I've done on Cobra Kai knows that I've been saying this from the start. Robbie does not need a trophy. He needs a win in life. That is not what he does not need a trophy for him to be whole or for his character arc to be complete. That is just simply not true. And I was so scared. Last part, I was so scared that's what they were gonna do. I was so scared they were gonna be scared of making him a second place, whatever, labeling him second place all the time and making sure everyone makes a round. Miguel got their All Valley. Hawk out their allies and all Robbie. I was so scared they were gonna down that route. I underestimated them. I can admit I completely underestimated them and their storytelling abilities. But they did exactly what I wanted to happen. Like, when I tell you I almost cried because of like how happy I was they went down this road. I love the idea of, first of all, them going with the Karate Kid plot, like a very similar version of obviously what happens to Daniel, but then it also being a mirror to what happens to Robbie. Robbie already kind of went through this arc in season one, but it brings it full circle with him getting hurt. He's content. He's fine because he realizes he has more. He doesn't need to chase a trophy anymore because he has so many great things in his life. At that time in season one, he was going through so much. He had very little. He didn't have anyone who loved him. He liked Sam, but she was with Miguel. He didn't have his father. He didn't really have any friends. It's like that karate and the all that and the trophy was all that was driving him, and he really had nothing else to look forward to or to be happy or proud about. Now he has so many great things because of karate in his life that it's not necessary. It's no longer necessary for him to feel that he has to go out there in order to prove something to himself. He no longer has anything to prove. And I loved that part of Ghost. It's really putting us, because they already in season one, they already put a spin on the Karate Kid plot of having Cobra Kai win instead of Miyagi-Do. But then to put another twist on that was so genius. I can't tell you how genius that is to me. And he's always said, oh, I've always come in second place. But I love, and I said it like right before he said it was kind of funny. He's finally given himself credit. His line of, I'm maybe misquoting this, but I think he says, he's like, I could have won. And sucks the world will never know. And then he pauses and says, but I do. And I love that self-confidence and that realization and maturity of, I don't need to prove to everyone else that I'm better, or I don't need to prove to everyone else that I could have won or that I can win, because I know I could have won. I'm aware that I am a good fighter. I'm aware that I could have beat this guy. And that's all the validation I need. That's all the validation he needed was that I know I could have won, and that's enough. And his just like acceptance is something no one else in the entire universe has done. No one else in the entire universe, that goes for Jaden Smith's Karate Kid too, has, because he's not in the same position that they all were. And it's just, there's something so beautiful about that. I could not, probably one of my favorite scenes from this ending, just because of how they've managed to grow his character and treat him with such care and thoughtfulness to truly round out his story and not just provide fan service. He has just so much good in his life now, especially compared to what he had in the first All Valley. It just was the best growth. I love seeing Robbie this season, and I love the writing they did with his character. I couldn't have been more happy. And I know there's a lot of people who can be more happy and are not happy with the way they ended his character. And we're gonna get into that, because this thing of like, oh, they did Robbie so dirty. Oh, they just won't let him win. Oh, the writers hate Robbie. And people like that, I'm like, do you not have the ability to think beyond the first thought that comes to your head? Like, I don't know. Like, the fact that people can't fathom why they did what they did with Robbie is so, especially after hearing that speech, they basically just said it to you. I didn't think that was even necessary, but they basically just displayed the exact reason why they did what they did, why the show did what they did. And if you look back to it in Robbie's story and his arc and everything he's been through, you realize exactly why they did what they did and how that is the perfect ending for Robbie. When you think about it, if Robbie would have won the tournament, it's like okay, like what more does that bring to his life? How does that really impact the story and the character? Because right now, how that impacted was him realizing how much he has gained these past few years, how much he's gained because of karate. The fact that he's gained his dad, the fact that he has someone who loves him unconditionally, the fact that he has friends, the fact that he has a family. Those are all things he simply did not have. So sometimes you need to be knocked on your ass for you to realize all the great things in your life. That's a quote. I mean, that's not a quote. Not the way I said it, but that is a saying. sometimes that needs to happen. And that was such a good way of having Robbie come to terms with that and that's a very realistic approach. Not all the time is everyone gonna win. That's what I don't like, is that idea that like everyone has to win. Sometimes people do come in second place all the time and never get a taste of that victory. And that's fine. That's realistic. But again, they didn't just leave it like that. Like, oh, he never got a taste of victory and now he's, you know, in this shitty position that no one else has felt besides him. He's always second place. But they still managed to give him a happy ending, because his ending wasn't about winning a trophy. It was not. It simply wasn't. I could have told you that from the first season. That's not what his character arc and growth was going to be about, because that's not how he started. Like, okay. Enough talk about that. Yeah. And just because someone always loses does not give enough of a reason story wise for that character to win the tournament. As usually a tournament win always symbolizes something more. And yeah, okay. Bringing back CGI Miyagi. My only issue with... I have many issues with it. But one of my issues with it is I don't understand why they did it in part two if they're just going to drop it here. Like, because it takes away so much. Takes away so much of the shock value when we've already seen it. And the season in the part two one felt very unnecessary. This actually makes a little... this one doesn't really make much sense either. Neither of them make much sense, if I'm being honest. But either way, they should have picked and chose which part they were going to put it in and just do that. There was no need to do it in both parts. And the CGI was questionable for me. I know some people were... When I was watching our brother, I was like, this doesn't seem that bad. I thought it was pretty bad. A little bit unwatchable. Can't lie. Some shots, though, I really, really liked. It touched my soul. I can't lie. The overhead shot of Miyagi and Daniel circling their opponent, but also... at the same time each other, was magnificent. It was gorgeous. Like, it was such a beautiful shot. I rewinded that like three times. Them both getting into the same starting position and then with the slow-mo, such a cool sequence. I had to mention that. As much as I didn't love that whole thing, it was so scary. I was watching it at night. I was like, okay, what's gonna happen? Like, I didn't sign up to watch a scary movie, but I didn't want to point out those two major pluses. It was good cinematography. Sam drops out of the All Valley. Completely valid. I have nothing to say more. I have nothing more to say about that. However, I do have something to say about Daniel, because it's like, finally, my guy. It took you this long to realize the whole point is to not fight. Like, Miyagi was trying to teach you that 30 years ago. What are you not? So confused. I'm like, you finally gotten it? Like, I swear, he like 30 years ago he was like, it is not about it's you're learning it so you don't have to fight. Miyagi never wanted him to fight in tournaments, and he's now just now learning this. I mean, Daniel's speech to Johnny about the Robbie and Sam not wanting to fight, or Robbie and Sam being okay with not fighting, was so overdue. Like, it was such a great scene, and it was a great speech, and it was very true, but it's just, it was insanely overdue. He couldn't have come to this revelation a season earlier, two seasons earlier. It took you this long, 6-year-old man, really? It's like, okay, took you this long to grasp this basic concept, and this concept that's been already taught to you. Like, you've already been told this. Like, that's the thing that's even crazy. I think this is some whatever. Like, I mean, this whole tournament was unnecessary. Like, the Sekai, there was no reason for them to fight this. They just fought it, I think, just because it was a world tournament, and they didn't want Cobra Kai to be on the world stage. That was like they were fighting that whole thing. But it's like, there was no actual need. And that was the whole Miyagi point, was like, I'm not signing this. You don't need to fight. You only fought me to protect yourself last time. Now it's just, you're not just fighting a tournament. Just fight a tournament to defend your title. That's not what karate's about. Hilarious, though. When you think about it, one thing I do like about that interaction was Johnny saying, "I don't know how to not fight." That was when I knew shit was about to go down. That's when I was like, okay, we about to go down. We about to go down. Johnny saying that was iconic. And I like that. I like that distinguished character growth. I like that they're not going down the same path. I was so worried about that. I was like, why are we just turning Johnny into Daniel? But I like the fact that Daniel had realized that you don't fight when it's unnecessary. You learn karate so you don't have to get yourself in those situations. But for Johnny, that wasn't the lesson he was supposed to learn. And I really like that distinguished difference. So I really like that line of him being like, I don't know how not to fight. Like, that's the thing. Kreesh and Johnny's conversation in the hallway. That gets me every time. William Zabka, 10 out of 10 acting. Holy fuck. Like, that's all. Oh my God. Great scene. Love the dialogue. I love Johnny's explanation of how it wasn't even just the incident with him choking him out being the worst thing. It was the fact that he left him. He left him in the state. He lost. And it's like, oh, I no longer have use of you. And left him. He says he threw me away like trash. And basically unclaiming someone because they've lost. Like, that was his thought process. And that was so... I love that this is the first time we've seen Johnny truly vulnerable or in a vulnerable state, such as that scene. Never really seen that side of him, and pulling that out now, great idea. I also like that we got to see the way they feel about one another to light that we hadn't yet talked about or seen. I mean, Johnny saying, I trusted no one, and least of all myself, that got me really hard because it was so powerful in understanding Johnny's thought process when we first see him in the show, and it makes so much sense. Because when you don't, the biggest thing is when you don't trust yourself. When you don't trust yourself, you really can't do anything. There's very little room for any sort of growth or positive impact you can have on your life. When you don't trust yourself, you don't trust yourself to fall in love. You don't trust yourself to be a good father. You don't trust yourself to go after the life that you've always wanted. And that makes so much sense as to why we see Johnny in the state that we do in the first season. So I loved that whole, besides William Zabka's acting, which is grade A, I also really love the dialogue a lot. Yeah. I guess we have to talk about it now. Miguel and Tori coming out as Cobra Kai had me gassed. Like, when I tell you, I paused the show. When they said Miguel and they showed up in the original Cobra Kai geese, that was it. I was done. I quite literally paused, took out my phone, and recorded my reaction. I would put that on the internet if it wasn't for the fact that I had just gotten burned and my entire mouth looked like I got beat up. Like, I looked crazy and my hair wasn't done. But when I tell you, I was just like, it was the coolest thing that I had ever seen. It is everything I had ever wanted. Like, go back to my part two reaction and listen to my predictions. Go to the last 30 minutes of the episode and listen to my predictions. It's everything I could have asked for. I mean, like, Miguel coming back to Cobra Kai. Like, yes, 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 sir. Like, finally, it was so worth it. It just made me be like, okay, this is worth it. This was worth the horrible last two seasons of the show. I forgive you, is what I have to say. I ragged on this show so much, but I'm gonna be honest, I forgive you. This ending made it worth it. And that's what I was always saying. I'm like, as long as you can end it right in a way that brings it back full circle and makes it like, okay, it was worth sitting through all this, I'm good. I'm good, you guys. Like, oh my God, so epic. So epic. And then Johnny coming out in his black gi is just. And I love the fact that it was, again, the original Cobra Kai gis. I love that with the sleeves cut out. When I say original Cobra Kai, I mean original, like, Cobra Kai, like the show. Epic. Just epic. Like, it does not get cooler than that. It simply doesn't. I was just so gassed. I was so gassed. Like, I can't. I'm trying to name a happier moment in my life, and I can't. And then Thunderstruck playing. I'm psyched. I was psyched. I was psyched. Episode rating 8 out of 10. I want to give this episode a 10 out of 10, but that would just be so biased. I'm gonna be completely honest with, like, the quality of the show. I mean, the episode, I'll maybe give it a 9, but just for, like, the Miyagi stuff and all the rest of it, it's an 8 out of 10. But st still so good for the show. Like, this is a 10 out of 10 in terms of Cobra Kai world. Episode 14, coming back to the old dojo to train Diaz and Tori. I mean, was everything him saying, "Diaz, you're my first student. Nichols, I was your first sensei," and it was all perfect. However, Daniel showing up to help train just felt so unnecessary. Bring Hawk, bring Robbie, or Robbie's in the hospital, but, like, bring Hawk, bring the other Cobra Kai members. Like, why are we bringing Daniel? Oh, especially considering the way he's used in episode 15 with Johnny, and that does feel necessary, and it makes sense. It's like, why does he need to be here too? Why do we need to? Why does Amanda need to be there? Why does Sam need to be there? Just whatevs. Yeah, it's like Johnny could never get a moment. Cobra Kai can never get a moment to themselves without Daniel just, like, butting in, which is like, okay. I love the talk between Miguel and Johnny on the sidewalk. Johnny, I loved the revelation of Johnny admitting he was the better fighter in 84, and Daniel shouldn't have beat him with 6 weeks of training, but he was just going in with pure anger, and he wasn't. The difference was Daniel. He was there to fight. He was fighting to honor the karate that was taught to him, and that's ultimately why he lost. I mean, he was the better fighter at the time, and I love the difference in Johnny's perspective from season one. When he's telling, like, "Oh, LaRusso's the real bully," and that was it was like it was in that sh same area, shot very similarly. And at that time, Johnny finds a way to blame everything on Daniel without taking any sort of personal responsibility, showing his complete immaturity and lack of awareness. And then the dialogue where Miguel says, "I'll fight to honor the karate you've taught me," and then Johnny saying, "You've been through so much. Fight for yourself too." And then him saying, "You earn this." It just, the dialogue was perfect and gave me direct season one vibes. I couldn't, just with growth, all these characters just grown. Oh my God, I loved it. Like, I couldn't tell you how much I love that scene. It goes into the Hall of Fame of Cobra Kai scenes, in my opinion. Yeah. Tori's scene with the LaRussos as well, while it's way too much focus on them, and I can't lie. Daniel's comment to Tori, like, she's kind of like pouring her heart out to them, thanking them. And Daniel li quite literally says, "You do deserve some good in your life." That is mad disrespectful. That is just mad. That's so backhanded. Who says you deserve some good? No, she deserves good in her life. Like, let's really, like, some good? Like, that's like saying, "You don't deserve all of it, everything. You don't deserve everything. You deserve some good." That is wild. Am I the only one thinks that's completely wild? It was just strange. It was very strange how backhanded that was, and that was not a kind thing to say. And it's funny that they thought it was. But I will say, Tori saying, she says this line, she's like, "No one besides my mom has ever shown me that much kindness." It breaks my heart every time. And it doesn't even break my heart, it just makes me so. Like, showing kindness to someone, people don't realize how big of a gesture that is. It's such a small thing to do, but it can go such a long way with certain people. You don't know what people are going through, and you don't know how many people have given them that chance. Like, like what Tori said about, you know, Amanda helping her out. It's like no one has ever thought to realize the situation that Tori's in and actually help her through it. Like that's not a and even though like in the moment Tori isn't as like you don't see that she's that grateful, her coming to that that realization and conclusion and being like, I am so thankful for you guys because like no one has ever treated me in such a kind way, especially after everything I've done to you and your family. And it's I cry every time I listen to the scene. I cry. Peyton List acted her butt off in that scene because she that almost made me cry. I mean that it basically it gets me teary eyed every time I watch it. She just acted, but I could feel like it felt so real. So amazing. And Tori winning again was all I ever wanted for her. I said this is what I didn't predict any of these things, but I said this, everything that happened is everything that I wanted to happen. I said it. I was like, this is what I would want to happen. This is what I'm predicting to happen. So I kind of underestimated the show in that sense. The knockout with the tooth was iconic. Zara, you and then Zara using that fear with of Tori, like that no one loves her, was such a good way to bring in Robbie with that callback with him telling her he loved her. I believe it worked so well for that scene. And there's so many times where it doesn't, where like you'll have like the significant other of the person come in and just like give a pep talk to them and then kiss them and it's like okay, like I guess. But they did it so tastefully because it made so much sense with everything that Zara was telling her. And for Robbie to come up to her and be like, hey, no, I love you. Like someone does love you and it is the person that you love. And I loved that reassurance he gives her. And again, it was just necessary. I usually don't like those kind of scenes. I find it cringy and corny, but I actually thought it worked very well. So hats off to them. Their writing was the past like last three episodes of this season, the writing was so good. I'm like, what the f where was Where were you guys? Where were you guys these past three seasons, huh? Her winning was significantly satisfying and a deserved ending for the character. And I also really appreciate that all the matches that were won without cheating involved. Axel Miguel's fight, I mean, everything? I have no notes. I have simply no notes for their fight. I have no notes. The flashbacks while that he was fighting. What more could I ask for? It's so hard for me to like talk about this because this just sounds like I'm just being like, this is not productive time whatsoever. I'm saying nothing inventive or creative in any way. I'm just happy. Like, I have nothing more to say. The callback to go all in. What? And then the death stare by Miguel. The death stare by Miguel when he punches him in the nose. And that music kicks in the de oh, the only critique I have is I should have held that shot longer. It was so good. Oh, it was so good. Oh my God. And the sound effects and sound design is pretty impressive considering the normal standard of the show. Even though it's usually pretty decent, it's different. It's different. There's nothing more. And one thing I love that they didn't show him falling off the railing. He's so much more than that. He's so much he came back and came back better. I loved that. The fight rating, like the rating of that fight sequence is a 10 out of 10. The episode rating is 9 out of 10. I think I don't think I've given this show anything of the show a 9 out of 10 in like four seasons. So this was I'm happy to be speaking like this about the show. Now, the very ending of this episode. Seeing Miguel fight again was just epic. Like, can we just say seeing Miguel fight in the All Valley in the Cobra Kai gi? Oh my God, just goated character, just goated character. Like, okay, I'm gonna stop there. In the end, however, because it's a tie between the dojos, they're like, Senseis, you gotta fight now. Just absolutely insane. I mean, what if one of the senseis are like 80 years old? What are we doing now? You're gonna have an 80-year-old fight a 30-year-old? Like, what is I mean, John is not too far off, but like, oh my goodness, it was just bizarre. And then asking Sensei's fi to fight is literally the equivalent of like it being a tie in a basketball game. And be like, okay, coaches, come on, play one on one. Like, what the? Like, crazy. crazy. I mean, I won't. I question it in my head. I'm not gonna question it out loud. But I mean, if that means getting Johnny to fight the All Valley again, I'm not gonna argue. I'm not gonna argue with the logistics. But crazy work. Episode 15, the last episode of the entire show. Ex-degenerate, naming the title Ex-degenerate was just perfect. I recognized it instantly. I was like, the callback, immaculate, loved it. I like instantly in my head, I was like, oh, I love the show. The kick he does in training, I'm gonna say that was all him. No stunt double. They clearly showed his face. Epic. Didn't know that dude had it, didn't know William Zabka had it in him, and I'm living for that. Yeah, I mean, Johnny winning that fight and redeeming himself was the perfect way to end his story. And it's something so incredible that I had to say when I finished the show, because I was like, there was everyone won. Everyone that the majority of the audience wanted to win, everyone wanted to see win won. And usually that can come off as so as just a go lucky, happy Disney ending, and it doesn't feel earned or real or like a good ending, because it's like that's like a happy ending is not a happy ending is not always a good ending, but this is a rare occurrence of a show where a happy ending is a good ending. It worked for this show, and I love that they recognize that enough to do that, to make that payoff, because seeing Tori win was necessity. We've all wanted this from her. Miguel winning that full circle moment, that triumph, seeing that character go from what he was in season one to season six, and seeing him get that win in a Cobra Kai gi, bringing that back full circle, was everything every single Cobra Kai fan would have wanted. People who don't want that, you're not Cobra Kai fans. F off. Johnny winning was such a necessity. Having that fight in 84 be like the downfall of his life and get this win in a way that he had his daughter with him, he had his son with him, he had a wife. Like, it was so well deserved after everything we've seen this guy go through. Everyone's rooting for this guy. I mean, it just warms your heart seeing him win. It you needed it. Like, all these wins, it never felt like, oh, everyone's gonna win. It just felt right. The correct thing with these characters. I mean, all these characters have gone through so much. They have very little wins to go off of, all these characters. So, well, besides Hawk and Sam, who were rightfully sidelined. So, and one thing I love about the fight was that whole thing with he stepped right into Daniel's kick, and that's the only reason he lost. And this time, Daniel's like taking a step. I mean, what's his name? Johnny taking a step back. And then getting him from there. And even one thing I even loved, I loved that the emphasis on Johnny's confidence taking him so far. And then when he gets that confidence kind of knocked out of him and he's kind of shooken and he doesn't have that like belief. One of my favorite lines he says, he's like, every fight I've always gone into, I knew I could win. And even if I didn't, I knew I could have. I think that's what he says. I could be botching these quotes like crazy, but I absolutely loved. I mean, that's just such a good mindset to have as an athlete, and just in real, it just outside of athletics and in the real world. And I loved that thought process from Johnny. And I loved the way we kind of shook that up, and we kind of changed that. And he's like, I actually don't know if I can beat this guy. Oh, I can beat this machine. And he's 30 years younger, and he's faster, he's stronger. I mean, he's, but. Getting that beast from within and getting that redemption for him is just so amazing. Only problem I have is why does Daniel have to lift the trophy up with him? I get the callback to you all right, Lawrence. I love it. But we could have just had Johnny hold up that trophy on his own, and then we could have had Daniel giving Johnny that trophy. And then him being like, you're all right, Lawrence. And then Johnny lifting up the trophy. I don't understand why they had to do it together. I get it because Daniel's was like Johnny's sensei. But in terms of character-wise and story-wise and how much we care about Johnny and how much we've seen of Daniel that we don't need, it's like, do we need to, every success that Johnny has, Daniel has to be a part of it? It's like, okay. I really like the scene where Miguel and Hawk and the rest of the kids put Johnny on their arms, and they lift him up, and he's like, ah! And it's like, and you people are like, ah, no, sit me down, but Johnny's just like, ah, he's loving the praise and loving the attention, and it's just so good, and that was definitely a needed scene. Like, he needed that glorious feeling on his own, and to be lifted up by his students. It just, oh, it was great. And Johnny going back to his mother's grave with the picture of the baby when Carmen's living the baby, and Robbie and Miguel's there. It's just beautiful. Makes me want to cry. Makes me see how far Johnny has come, especially with the flashback they do in the beginning of the episode with him always being a drunk and leaving the bottle there. It just such good writing. It's like, yeah, they just did what I always hope. They brought back Cobra Kai, the ending scene with Johnny and his new students, and him giving them the pep. Is that even pep talk? Or maybe just like a talk. And it just took me right back to season one, Cobra Kai. And I mean, I loved what he was like. You two four eyes. Good God. Like, it was just, oh my God. Everything was just so Johnny coded. And he gave the exact speech that I wanted, that idea that taking something that has that you've actually learned so much good from, but you don't have to take all of it. That's the thing. It's like Cobra Kai had so many good life skills that you learned and that you've taken with you and that has helped you. So just take those parts and teach them, and the other parts, keep it aside. You don't need that. But there is a gray area, and he says that in season two. That gray area, that's where Johnny Lawrence Cobra Kai operates, and that's bringing that back was just everything, because he was so on the right track with that, and then Kreese just took it over by then. Also, I would have been fine with the closing credits being that last shot of Johnny smiling at in the dojo, but I guess we just had to bring Daniel back for that for that after credit scene. I mean, sure. Guys, I forgot a very big plot that happens. Kreese and Silver die. Kreese and Silver are dead. They're dead in this universe. They literally blow up on a yacht. I am sorry for forgetting, but let's be honest, all the characters didn't seem to care either. So, I mean, let's talk about it. I personally loved it. I thought it was the only way for both those characters to go out. They both did some very evil shit that they needed. This was the only way. And then the Kreese redemption and Silver going out in a crazy 80s cheesy way is literally perfect. The way when before Kreese shows up and he's like trying to get Johnny and his kids killed, like, or Johnny's wife and his kid like threatened. I'm like, it is just karate, my guy. Oh my goodness. Like, at that moment, I was just like, no way we're going this far. Really? This is this important? Also, Silver's dying, but I didn't think that was worth mentioning. And yeah, that was also another good thing, that the way they did it, he went out a fighter instead of by his illness, which I think is a very Silver way to go out. But like, my guy, threatening a child and a woman is like, that it's that deep. But one thing I will say about their whole debacle, Kreese being like, mercy before the ship blows up, is, I know it's corny and dramatic, but I low-key really love it, and I thought it was like the coolest thing. It was honestly just like sick. But like, my guy, threatening a child and a woman is like, that it's that deep. But one thing I will say about their whole debacle, Kreese being like, mercy before the ship blows up, is, I know it's corny and dramatic, but I low-key really love it, and I thought it was like the coolest thing. It was honestly just like sick. Quite literally the only time we've ever heard Kreese say mercy. Like, iconic? Yeah. Iconic, yes it is. I do know, however, people had a bone to pick with none of the characters, we never seeing any of the characters react to their deaths. I didn't think it was necessary. I mean, like, what would they even say? I mean, like, what would you even really say to those to that. They all know Silver was dying. I feel that they wrapped up Kreese's story enough with Johnny, and he and John, Kreese and Johnny are both content with their relationship and are hashed it out and said everything that needed to be said. They really is no more words that needed to be spoken between them. So him dying, it wasn't necessary for us to see that conversation with them in the hallway. That was a necessary conversation. Someone telling Johnny that Kreese and Silver died. I don't know. I mean, I guess Tori, it would have been nice to hear, but like, does she need to hear that? I didn't feel like that was missing. I didn't really feel like, oh my God, we didn't get to see the reaction to their deaths. I didn't really feel that way. When people said it, I was like, oh, that is kind of true. But I didn't feel that that was a missing point in the episode, or like it was like a hole left. It just felt like felt pretty right. I mean, we all know they eventually find out, but it's like, again, what would they say that would be of any significance to the story of the characters? And also, I forgot, there's so much stuff that happens. I forgot so much. But Tori and Robbie getting that contract to tour the world and fight tournaments and brandy and get brand deals, and I mean, so awesome. That was such a great ending for both of them, especially because they both didn't really have that much of an academic long-term career, but putting them down this path, it made sense. This is a world tournament. Tori won the world tournament. Robbie was about to win. Obviously, we can see he can fight. He's on a world stage. You're gonna get recognition. I thought it was a perfect ending for both of them. It made sense. And I was so happy to see the fact that they're both getting this opportunity. And Tori getting that earning, her being like, this is how much I'm getting. Like, I think it was just the absolutely perfect. Like I said, they end these characters all really great and in a happy way, but they all deserved it. Like, all of them deserved it, and it's honestly what the audience wanted to see. I didn't want to see one of them dying or getting injured and like never being able to walk again. Like, that wasn't necessary for this type of show. You kind of have to know what story you're telling here in order to best wrap it up. So, no, I don't know what to say anymore. Like, sure. Also Chosen, he meets with the girl with the long braid in Japan. I think that's where they are. Which is like, okay. That's all you need, to show us, and why you need any more Chosen. And then Johnny's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I love that. I love that he was, oh, I love that. It was so, and the fact that it was just him and it wasn't him and Daniel, really like that little touch. Oh, loved it, loved it, loved it. Yeah, this, I mean, that episode gets an 8.5 out of 10. What more can you want? You know what I mean? Like, what more can you possibly want from this show? If you go back to season one, episode one, or just season one in general, and then go to this season, it feels right. The ending for all these characters feel right. And that's when you know you've brought it back full circle. I can't say this whole show was great. I can't. With a good integritable heart, I can't say this whole show was good. But what I can say is they nailed this ending, and that's all you can really ask for in, you know, especially in a show that maybe goes downhill. A lot of the times, they can't pick themselves up, and they just end it, and that is what it is. But I was very pr I'm actually very proud of the people, of the showrunners, of the writers, of the stunt choreographers, all of them, for putting their heart and soul into this ending to at least make it a memorable and satisfying ending for the majority of the fans. And I'm so happy. Like, I'm so happy. Yeah, I don't know if you could tell, but I'm very, very happy. When I saw it, I was over the moon. My heart felt full. Like, I felt full. It's like when you're in love. Like, I felt in love. Yeah. I mean, this is the end, you guys. This is the last Cobra Kai episode that I will ever do, and it makes me kind of sad. I mean, when the Karate Kid movie comes out, I'm gonna be doing that too, but it's not the same. It's so sad. Like, it hit me when I finished. I was like, oh shit, this is the end. I've never seen these characters again. I've never seen Miguel again. It just makes me very sad. Yeah. I mean, this show, like I said, I hate hating the show. I hate hating on the show. I hate critiquing the show. I'm not critiquing it, but I hate just trashing the show, which I have done for such a long time. So to be able to say such good things about it and to smile and to be praising the show again makes me so happy. Like, it makes me very, very happy. I'm not one of those people that finds joy in bringing down people's art and people's efforts. I don't like doing it. I do it because obviously my job, but this is just feels so much better. But yeah, the season rating is a 7 out of 10. As much as I love this ending and they close this out in such a near perfect way, the entire season is very questionable. Part one is very, 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 very questionable. Part two, again, choreography is just too bad. Dialogue is awful. So, you know, ugh. Honestly, if this ending wouldn't happen, it would be like a 2 out of 10. So, yeah. I mean, thank you for listening. Thank you, all of you, for listening to, for those of you who've listened to my past episode, my previous episodes on Cobra Kai, and have been with me through this. I'm gonna miss talking about the show so much. I know earlier I was just saying how much I wish this, or last episode was saying how much I wish this would just get over. I would get this over with, and now I'm like crying, trying to like grasp the fact that this is it. But thank you to all those who are with me. Thank you all those for listening. I'm out.